I'd like to start this morning by telling you the story about a young lady, just a girl. She was raised in a religious home, but that home was Jewish. And she was greatly impacted by her mother. She enjoyed going to church. She learned about God. She was active there. And as a teenager, she was attracted to a young man that was just not so religious. He was a nice guy, but he wasn't interested in things of God or spiritual things. And against the best wishes of her mom and against the best wishes of her church, she married this young man. And before too long, they had a baby boy. That baby's boy was named Tim, or legally Timothy. Both the mother and the grandmother continued to teach this little boy. They spent hours with him. They taught him the Bible. They told him Bible stories. They prayed with him. They prayed for him. They prayed with him. And they trained him in the Old Testament and about all the things of God. Now, it wasn't too long that early in this boy's life, an evangelist came to town. And he began to preach about Jesus. They hadn't heard about Jesus. They saw, as he taught from the Old Testament, they saw how Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all the promises that were given to them in the Old Testament. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know what that's called? It's called the gospel. It's called the truth. And these two ladies placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They were converted, and as new believers, they began to focus on teaching little Tim about Jesus Christ and who he was, and how the promises from the Old Testament told all about him. Now, the preacher took a pretty special interest in young Timothy, and he partnered with Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother, and he began to mentor Tim as he was in town at different times, and it wasn't too long that Timothy accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior as a teenager, and this preacher thought so much of him that he invited him to come be a part of the Crusades. He went around with him all around the country, preaching and teaching and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, not too long later, this was a different country. It was in the Eastern Europe area. Not long later, this pastor was put in prison for teaching. I guess I can't say that that's unlike America these days, because I tell you what, there have been some strange things about COVID, amen? Some people have been put in jail for preaching when they weren't supposed to be holding service. Well, this pastor was put in prison for preaching the truth. And while he was there, he wrote a couple of letters to this young man, to young Timothy, and it contained some instruction on how Timothy should behave as a church leader. And they also reminisced very fondly about the relationship that he had had in raising Timothy and about the great mother and grandmother that he had in the faith. Now, you probably by this time, especially if you cheated and looked in the bulletin, you probably have realized by this time that I'm talking about Timothy, who was written about in God's Word. The mother's name was Eunice. The grandmother's name was Lois. The preacher's name was Paul. And we do know this, that the two letters that he wrote are recorded in God's Word as 1 and 2 Timothy. Well, we do know this. With this background that I've just given you, I want to share a couple of verses with you, or a few verses with you, from Paul's second letter to Timothy, to show you how a mother and grandmother can make a significant spiritual impact on a child. And sometimes even on a child with no father present. Because there is never mentioned here about Timothy's father, because he was a Gentile. That's recorded in Acts. So he didn't believe in Christ. So we know this. The first thing that a mother can do, and we could say parents for that matter, but this morning I'm sharing with moms. Moms, one of the first things that you can do to help your child and to impact your child for Christ is to instill a respect for God's Word. Instill a respect for Scripture. In his second letter, Paul urges Timothy to hang tough to what he has been taught as a child, to what he was taught all the time that he was growing up. I want you to stand with me as we read God's Word. We're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, and we're going to read just four verses through verse 15. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, this is the letter from Paul to Timothy. It's a letter to Timothy written by Paul. He says, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, a number of versions say infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Father, we're thankful for your word. And we're thankful that in more than one place you have reminded us about the impact that mothers and grandmothers can have. We are so thankful that, Father, you make a huge difference. Thank you for mamas that love the Lord and teach your children. Father, we pray that the Scripture this morning would impact our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated? So in the manner of the devout Israelites, as a young Jewish woman, Grandma Lois and Mama Eunice taught the Holy Scriptures to Timothy from infancy, even before he could crawl. Now that word infant is hard to misunderstand. Now, that doesn't mean that he was a young teenager. It doesn't even mean that he was an older child. Infant. That's before they can walk, before they can crawl. So even before he could crawl, they read to him. They talked about Samson. They talked about Samuel. They talked about David. They told him the story of Ruth and Boaz. They talked about Abraham and Noah. They told him all of the Bible stories. They did everything they could to provide Timothy with the opportunity to learn all he could about God's Word. Now, because he was taught respect for the Word of God, Timothy not only stored the Scripture in his mind, but he made a practice of owning what he studied. There's a difference, amen? You know the difference? The difference between knowing God's Word here and practicing God's Word here? There's a difference, amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you, the devil knows God's Word. And he will try to adulterate it to you. He'll try to use it in the ways it wasn't meant, and he'll try to twist it around. So it's not just knowing God's Word, but doing something with it. Because he respected Scripture, he didn't just fill his head with the truth, he internalized it and he lived it out. That makes a difference. Because his mom modeled it, Timothy internalized it, and he lived it out. These moms followed the law of Moses as found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen, let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. In other words, you need to know the Word of God and talk about it when? All the time. Everywhere you go, everywhere you're at, incorporate God's Word. These two mothers that helped, that raised together, that raised young Timothy, they had God's Word on their hearts. And because they had internalized the truth in their own life, they could impress it upon young Timothy. They talked about it through the day. Scripture impacted their life every day. Now, here's the application of that. Are you ready? How do we apply this? It is never too early to start Bible teaching for your children. Never too early. That's why when they're brought to this nursery, they hear the Word of God. From the time that they're too little to understand, they start hearing the Bible stories. They hear the songs. And if you haven't already started doing that in your own home, it's never too late to start. Something is better than nothing. Amen? There is absolutely nothing that can replace a parent's role in a child's life. Nothing like it. Mom and Dad, you are God's greatest tool to instill respect for God's Word in your child's life. Grace Point Fellowship has some wonderful programs to help you. We really do. We got some great programs. Sunday school, Bible school, summer camps, summer activities, Awana program on Wednesday nights, Bible studies. We have a Mother's Day Out program that teaches children and teaches them the Bible. But we also have local Christian schools that are teaching as well. And these programs are all designed to help you teach your children. And you know a but is coming, right? But all these things are there to help you teach your children. But there is absolutely no excuse and there is absolutely no substitute for parents teaching. Parents must teach God's Word. It's the pastor's job, it's the youth pastor's job, it's the children's minister's job to supplement what parents teach at home. But there is nothing like mama and daddy teaching it at home. In the morning, at the table, as they walk, as you prepare to go to bed. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote this. He said, "Men are what mothers make them." Now, I think that that's a lot of truth, not all of it. But I'm going to tell you, there's a Spanish proverb that I have learned that I really love. And it says this. Are you listening? "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." If you don't know what that means, it's saying an ounce of mother is worth a pound of the preacher. All right? There were four scholars that were arguing over Bible translations. One of them preferred the King James Version, the old English style, and he loved it and he argued for it because of the beauty and the eloquence of the old English. One of them liked the New American Standard Version because of its literalism. The third liked the New Living Translation because of its use of contemporary phrases and less confusing. The fourth scholar said, and I quote, "I have personally preferred my mother's translation." And the others laughed at him. And they said, "Your mother's translation. Your mother wrote a translation." And he said, "Yes, my mother translated scriptures. My mom translated each page of the Bible into life. And it's still the most convincing translation that I've read." Isn't that the truth? Those of us who were blessed to have mothers who translated the Bible that way know a true and deep blessing. Indeed, dear friends, a parent's best spiritual teaching is not just by reading, but by example. Children and grandchildren imitate what they see, not just what they hear. Do they see you reading your Bible? Do they see you praying? Do they see and hear the programs that you watch and listen to? What books you read? What kind of Bible is your child reading when he or she observes your life? Are you looking for ways to instill a respect for God's Word in your child? Mamas, remember this. You can make a significant spiritual impact on your children, and often without the help of a father. Timothy didn't have a father who taught him. His mother and his grandmother did that. But you can have an impact on your children. Now, a second way to impact your children's life is to instill within them an authentic faith. Have an authentic faith. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Now, even though Mama and Grandma were believers, Timothy had himself to come to a point where he put his own faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? We've got to do that. Faith is not hereditary. Sometimes I wish it were. Faith is not hereditary, but it is learned. You learn faith by those who are around you. When mothers and fathers model genuine faith, it motivates children to have that same kind of faith. Now, the word sincere that he used here, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. You know what that means. It means it was unhypocritical. It was real. These two mothers that he spoke of, both of Timothy and the mother and the grandmother, they were completely sold out for Jesus Christ. They were sold out to God, and Timothy knew it. There is no one better to know the hypocritical nature of a parent's faith than a child. You know when they're serious about it, amen? They know when you're serious about it. Children know when their parents' faith is genuine. Now, I want you to notice the chain here. It went from Lois, the grandmother, to the mother, Eunice, to the son, the child, Timothy. Now, again, unfortunately, we don't read anything about a father or a grandfather. Now, that's not to say that they're not important. Amen? Listen, all the difference can be made when fathers are involved in the teaching of their children and when children see their fathers involved in faith. But what I'm saying is this, a mother can make a significant spiritual impact on her children even when the daddy won't do it. So don't give up, moms. I know some of you are having to fly solo out there, whether they're out of the picture or they're just not joining in on the picture. Moms, if you will instill an authentic faith in your children, then you'd better take your own faith seriously. You better be serious about your own faith. You send a very strong message to your children when you read the Bible yourself, when you attend church yourself, when you are involved in church programs, when you bring your kids to church, don't just send them, by participating in the life and the mission of the church. Listen, and I believe this, that the hallmark of a godly mother is certainly prayer. We need more prayer. There's a subject for another day. Then there's a third way to impact your children spiritually, and that is to instill a desire to minister. Now listen, if you've fallen asleep through the others, would you wake up on this one, because I need you to hear this. You might have heard some of the other. I want to remind you of this. Instill a desire to minister in each of your children. If we go back and look at Acts chapter 16, those first few verses, they tell the story of what mom and grandmother passed down to Timothy. And those few verses say this. They say, first of all, that he was a strong believer. If you read the scriptures there, it says he was a strong believer. Secondly, that he had a good reputation. And then the third thing is he was willing to go. In other words, Timothy was available to be used by God. He was available for God to send out. Paul wanted to take him on a journey, and Timothy was eager to minister. Even though Timothy knew that it meant hardship and difficulty, leaving home, he knew that all these things were going to be a tough thing to do, and yet he desired to do. But friends, I want you to know this. There is no way that this kind of commitment to ministry develops if it has not first been developed and encouraged at home, period. I'm thankful that as I grew up, from an early teenage age, I was asked to minister in the church. I began preaching when I was about 14 or 15 years old. You know who I preached to? Children's church. You know what I did? I made up monkey stories. Hello? Monkey stories. I did puppet skits. Listen, I got cramps in my arm from sitting down below there and being both puppets at the same time. But I'm going to tell you, I learned more there by teaching and by sharing those stories with the kids, because they love those stories and would apply them to the Bible. Then later as a teenager, on Sunday afternoons, we would go to the mission center and teach Sunday school. And I would teach Sunday school. I'm thinking, I'm going to teach Sunday school? Listen, you can if you'll let God. If you will do it. And moms and dads, you've got to instill in your kids an opportunity and a desire to be used by God. Preach and teach and share the best you can where you can. Paul wanted to take him on a journey with him. Moms and dads, you need to be ready to help your kids to do that as well. But these things that we teach them to do, first of all, we said that you need to instill in them an authentic faith, and we said that you need to instill a respect for Scripture. What good does that do if they don't share it with other people? Those are the preliminary... what you said. Those are the things that come before you go out. The preliminary things have got to be that respect for Scripture, the authentic faith, and then being available. Then there's one more step. You got to know when to let go. Here's a hard one for mamas. Dads seem to have a little easier time with this, but moms, you got to know when to let go. Our kids are to learn the Bible and grow in their faith for this reason, so that they can become difference makers in the world. We have to learn to let them go. Our kids are to learn the Bible and grow in their faith so they can share their faith with others, so they can minister in the church and in their school, so they can serve those who are hurting, so they can serve as missionaries in town, and out of the country, so that they can identify their spiritual gifts and start using them for the Lord their God. Dear friends, listen to this. They cannot do that if they're still tied to the apron string. We don't read of Eunice running after Paul, saying, "Don't take my boy, don't take my boy." He was just a teenager. She didn't holler out to Timothy and say, "I did not raise you for this. You come back to mama." No, here's a mom who first lived her faith, and then she wanted it for her son. She taught him at a very early age and through his childhood and into his teen years, and then she let him go. She trusted God's love, she trusted God's provision, and she trusted God's call for him more than she did her own abilities. She knew that Timothy first belonged to God, amen, and then belonged to her. Here's the truth of the matter. It all boils down to this. We are saved in order to serve. We are to be disciples so that we can disciple others. We're to equip so that others can go out and evangelize. We're sanctified, if you will, so that we can be sent to a lost and dying world. One last thing this morning. Here's the most encouraging part, moms. Listen. These moms were rewarded and they were blessed later. Later. You know, as they were raising Timothy, I know they had some great moments. Don't you know they had some great smiles when Timothy would recall the Scriptures, or he would quote the Scriptures, or he would do something right and he was a good kid? There were special moments. But folks, it really began to pay off later, because the real payoff, the real fruit of their work, came down the road years later. Years later. Listen, it was only after he went off with Paul that he began to grow and he began to teach and he began to win people to the Lord. And he was an instrumental in being a pastor in one of the biggest churches and most churches that did the most outreach in that area. Moms, don't ever question your God-given role to care. Don't ever question your God-given role to nurture. Don't ever question up bringing your child up in the love and care of the Lord. Because when those times of doubt begin to prevail in your mind, remind yourself, the fruit comes later. The fruit comes later. Don't kill him now. The fruit comes later. I speak from experience, both as the child and the parent of that child. Children. You know this. God uses us even in our imperfection, dads, moms, to love and direct our children to the Lord. Let me see if I can bring this all together. Mothers, so thankful for you. You can make a spiritual impact on your family. And you can do so by instilling a respect for Scripture in your children, by having an authentic faith yourself, and by having a desire for ministry for your children. Give them responsibility and learn when to let go. And watch for the fruit today, later. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for our moms today. We give you praise for our moms. Amen? Thank you. We give you praise for the grandmas, the aunts, the Sunday school teachers, the neighbor lady, friends of our friends who were like moms to us. God, so many have impacted our lives. As we reflect on it, Lord, we can identify many precious women that have encouraged us, loved us, nurtured us, helped us, directed us. And a lot of them have cried over us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the tenderness of the ladies that you have created. They're quiet, yet they're tenacious spirits. God, they're warm and welcoming lives. Oh, God, you have blessed us with them. You've touched our hearts with them. You have impacted us through our moms. And we give you thanks. God, for those today who are struggling because of the celebration of moms, because of difficulties and hurts in their lives, for those who have lost their mom, those who maybe didn't have the best of moms, for those who feel like they haven't been a good mom, for those who never have had the blessing of being a mom. God, we entrust these precious ladies to you. God, our Almighty Lord, who acts with compassion and mercy and kindness to all, would you bless these precious ladies?